Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 93 in the series entitled The Purpose of Existence, Chabad's Revolutionary Approach to the Ultimate Question. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 5th of Adar 2, 5760.
Zum zweiten Mal. This one was for points. The 35th chapter of Tanya was dedicated to explaining the ultimate purpose and destiny of the personality defined as the Beinoni, as well as dedicated to exploring the true significance of la'asaisa, of spiritual behavior, of a life governed by mitzvahs, by deeds, by godly deeds, explaining that it's precisely through the mitzvahs, through performing Hashem's will in this world, in tangible objects, and through physical mundane deeds, that the Beinoni connects even more than through the deepest spiritual emotions and experiences, connects his the totality of his being, his divine soul, as well as his biological soul, as well as his physical body, with the intimate essence of Hashem, even his animal consciousness and his biological components become merged and absorbed and drowned in the intimate essence of Hashem, one with Hashem. Now the question is right away asked, which was asked last week and 2 weeks ago, what is the gewalt in that? That despite the fact that this man must struggle his entire life, because he never really experiences godliness on a wholesome emotional level, he remains fragmented and dichotomized between two tracks, between two motors, a transcendental one and a selfish one. And nonetheless, the Alter Rebbe said, all of it is worth it just for the la'asaisa, the fact that in day-to-day behavior, he or she behaves in a fashion consistent with the blueprint of Torah and Halacha. That itself is the most awesome and deep thing, creating a total fusion between the animal soul and godliness through the mitzvahs. What is so significant and awesomely great about the fact that the animal soul experiences intimacy with Hashem? Or in other words, why can't we be content with performing spiritual mitzvahs, with learning Torah, that involve primarily the spiritual components of the human being? Why is it so important we understand that in order to have our physicality merge with godliness, physical mitzvahs are needed because they involve our physical components. But why is it so important that the physical component of man should be so overwhelmed and absorbed in godliness? And this is indeed the theme that Alter Rebbe will discuss in chapter 36. Now, Perek Lamed Vav of Tanya is considered one of the most fundamental pieces, if not the most fundamental chapter, in the literature of Chabad Chassidus. Hundreds of discourses, talks and letters in Chabad Chassidus are based on this chapter in Tanya, in which the Alter Rebbe expressed for the first time his revolutionary approach and powerful perspective on the ultimate question of life, of what indeed constitutes the purpose of our existence. An idea which changed the landscape of Jewish thought forever, and for which we will eternally be grateful to this giant of giants for sharing it with us. I don't think there's another chapter in the whole literature of Chassidus that encapsulates in itself the whole picture of history, of our destiny, all the way from the beginning, from the first point till the final point, as it is in this chapter. Let's learn inside. Perek Lamed Vav, page 90, Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. Page 90. Now it's well known, Maimer Azal, the declaration of our sages, Shetach Lizbriyas Eilam Hazahu, that the ultimate purpose for which this world was created is Shenisava Kadish Baruch Holiyes Leidir B'Tachteinim, that the Holy One, blessed be He, desired to have an abode, a residence in the lower realms. No. Shine. Good question. You want to know what Nisava means. You want to know if the Dira B'Tachtonim that Alter Rebbe referred to in the year 1797 is the same Dira B'Tachtonim that we're supposed to make in the year 2000. Also a good question. But one moment, let's get into the subject. So the Alter Rebbe is saying that everybody knows the declaration of our sages, that the purpose of creation was that Hashem desired, craved, to have a residence below. Now, since this is the basis of everything that will follow, what is indeed the source of this declaration of our sages that Maidah Zayis that everyone knows about? Oh, Veistachia. Medrid, a few sources. Huh? You want to know why the Alter Rebbe says Muda Zayis? What if people would not know about it? Vazlot gefelt. I don't know. But it's an interesting question. The first source is Medrash Rabba, Parshas Nosoi, Parsha Yud Gimel Piskevov on the Pasuk. Vayihi hamakriv b'yoyim harishin es karbonei Nachshon ben Aminadav, referring to the offerings that the Nesim, the princes of the tribes, presented upon the construction of the tabernacle of the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, a little less than a year following the exodus of Egypt. To the Pasuk in Parashas Nasi says, Vayihi b'yom arishon, it was the first day. Frag de medrash amar Reb Shmuel bar Abba mal b'yom arishon. Why does it say the first day? It seems like that was the first day of existence. It was thousands of years after the world was created. It should have said, Vayihi, b'yom shehu kama Mishkan, the day that the Mishkan was built, was put up, was constructed. Its construction was culminated and it was put up. B'yom HaRishon, this was the first day that ever existed. And for the Medrash, that min hayom HaRishon shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa olam, nis'ava ladur im b'riyosav v'tachtonim, nis'ava. That from the first day Hashem created the world, He craved to have a residence with His creatures, betachtoinim, below in the lower realms. But it was not achieved because He was immediately banished from the home He desired so much to dwell in as a result of the various transgressions. But when the Mishkan was constructed and put up, and Hashem, so to speak, descended into the Mishkan with His presence, and the princes came to offer their offerings, so Hashem says, Yikasev shebiyayim zen nivra ha'aylam. Let it be written that it's as if on this day the world was created, because for the first time, the purpose of creation was beginning to be implemented. So it's really like a biyayim harisha. The Tanchuma in Bechokaisai Gimel, the Medrash Rabbah is in Nasai. You said Tanchuma, the Medrash is in Nasai. Tanchuma is Bechokaisai Gimel, explains the pasuk in Bichukaisai Teleichu, Venasati Mishkani Beseichichem. If you'll follow my laws, ultimately I will dwell amongst you. Zog the Medrash, Sheim Tekaimu Mitzvaisai Maniach Aniyasal Yoinim Ve'erid Ve'eshkin Beineichem. If you do the mitzvahs, I will leave the upper, I will abandon the upper realms and make my home among you in the lower realms. And he continues that if you fulfill my will, my presence will not move from you. Why? Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Abba again, the same author, the same one who said the previous statement, Reb Shmuel the son of Abba, Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kishem sheyesh leidira lamayla kachye leidira lamata. Hashem desired to have a residence below. But you are indeed correct. In your previous reference, there's another Tanchuma in Parshas Nasai, Nasai Tezayin. Also on the Pasuk, Vayihi b'yom klois Moshe l'hakim es ha-mishkan, the day that Moshe finished to build the Mishkan. Zag de medrash b'shah shebara kadosh baruch hu es ha-olam his'ave sheyehei leidira b'tachtonim. Which I think in the wording resembles most Alter Rebbe's words. That the moment Hashem created the world, He desired to have a dira b'tachtonim k'shem sheyesh le'bal yoinim. And then the Medrash continues that that's the reason why Hashem immediately summoned Adam and commanded him the mitzvah concerning the tree of knowledge. And when he did eat from the tree of knowledge and violated the mitzvah, Hashem turns to him and says, Kachnis Avesi, is this what my taiva was? And the Shekhinah was removed, was elevated from earth to the first level of heaven. And then six sins followed, Cain and Hevel, idolatry of the generation of Enosh, generation of the flood, the generation of the Tower of Babel, the dispersion, Zdaim, the Plishtim, the Philistines, and that removed it to another six heavens. And then seven Tzaddikim came, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahas, Amram, Moshe. Moshe the seventh brought it down through the seventh heaven. Moshe, with the building of the Mishkan, brought it down to earth. The Medrash says, that's Pshat on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Hey, Basi Lagani Achaisi Kala, I've come to my garden, referring to the day that the Mishkan was built. Hashem is saying, I returned L'davar Shehayisi Misava Li, to the thing that I always craved, a residence below. There's one more Medrash in Bereshis Rabba, Parsha Gimel, similar, Metchilas Briyasei Shalolam Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lases Shutvas B'Tachtonim. From the beginning of the creation, Hashem wanted partnership with the lower realms. This is the statement upon which the Alter Rebbe will base the following theme. Zog the Alter Rebbe, V'hine now Leishayich Lefanav Yisbarach B'chines Mailo Mata. Surely before Hashem, the distinction of higher and lower is totally invalid. Both on the physical level and on the metaphysical level. on the physical level, when we talk about ourselves, I could say I live on the upper floor and I crave to move to the lower floor because physical objects and human beings operate in terms of physical space. Hashem, as any, even any spiritual being, is not a spatial being and does not operate in terms of physical space. You'll say that he exists in this space versus this space. This is Elyon relative to him and this is Tachton relative to him. Even when it comes to an intellectual idea, you don't say that the concept of 5 and 5 equals 10 exists on the higher floor and not on the lower floor, because it's something that doesn't exist in physical space. But here the Alter Rebbe's intention is even more. When he says that the terms Maila and Mata are invalid when we're discussing Hashem, he's not just talking about the physical terms. Even metaphysical terms, higher and lower in spiritual terms, would also be invalid. Why? Because Hashem pervades all worlds equally. How does the pasuk say? I pervade all of the worlds. So you cannot say, for example, that Hashem exists only in the Elyon, in the higher space, and not in the lower space. So what does it mean when our sages talk about Hashem craving a dirah b'tachtonim, a residence below? What makes this mata? What makes this tachtonim and what makes this elyonim when Hashem exists in every single centimeter of space, in every moment of time, in every single world, and higher and lower equally? So the Alter Rebbe explains a labirin in the explanation of the matter, however, is as follows. And listen carefully to his words. Kikoi, here is the Alter Rebbe's brief history of time. Kikoi dem shenivra ha'ilam. For before the world, any world was created, before anything was brought into being, hayahu levada yizbarech yachid umayuchat. There was only he alone, unique, one and singular. Prior to Briyas Ha'olam, what was the nature of reality? Hu levadei hu, he was one alone. Umemalei kol hamakim hazeh shebara bo ha'olam. Filling all the space in which he created the world. Anything that can be conceived of as a space or possibility of creation was filled with his presence, with the presence of the Endless One. Zagdal Terebe Vigam Atakeinu. And this situation remains unchanged. It's still the same now. But he adds, Lefun of Yizbarich, from his blessed perspective. From his perspective, the above-mentioned situation has remained absolutely unchanged. In other words, the fact that he filled every single space and that was the only reality, that situation remains post-creation just as it existed pre-creation. Creation hasn't changed a thing, including the space in which the world was created. As they say in Yiddish, Hashem fills every pitchifka. Every crevice and nuance, just as he filled it earlier, pre-creation. As the Alter Rebbe puts it elsewhere in one of his discourses, the cardinal law of existence is that if you place an object of 100 cubic feet inside a space of 100 cubic feet, no other object can occupy that space, obviously. If you have an object, theoretically, of infinite size, so no other object can occupy any space at any time. So Hashem, who extends beyond the conceptual borders of existence, but also fills the entire expanse of existence as we know it, that reality does not allow anything else to occupy any space. So that's the only reality. because Hashem fills every single crevice and every single nuance and everything, Mamali kol hamakim, as he puts it. So detaching from Hashem is detaching from reality, because that is the only reality. So what are we supposed to conclude from this? I guess that we don't exist. Should we conclude that we don't exist? No. We do exist. But as he discussed in chapter 21 and 20 and 21 and 22 and then 33 and last chapter a little bit, we don't exist in our own reality. We exist as an aspect of our Creator. Similar to a thought contained within you. That is what existence is all about. Yes, a thought which created a whole universe, but that has no identity outside of the thought. Similar to all of the entities created in your mind during a daydream, they have no reality outside of your thought, even if you'll have 30,000 people present in your daydream. So that's true about the entire universe, that it's nothing but an aspect of its creator, a thought of its creator, totally not independent of that thought. Now, this aspect itself, which constitutes the reality of our world, is absolutely insignificant, relative, and in the presence of the Creator Himself. Similar, again, to a thought or a word, in the presence of your whole intimate self, including the emotions which produce the thought. So creation is not outside of Him. Creation is contained within Him. Even within Him, it didn't add anything to Him, absolutely nothing. So it's not like in His space, there is a coexistence of two elements, Hashem, and also an aspect of His. The whole world is but an aspect of the Creator. That aspect itself is also absolutely as if it was not in existence. So there's no coexistence. Real reality is His intimate presence. You can't, in other words, attribute presence to a word when it's in the presence of its emotional progenitor. We discussed it then. You're not going to say, you know, in my heart, two things are coexisting. I'm feeling a lot of pain. I'm feeling a lot of pain. Or I'm feeling a lot of love. And together with that, there are six words that include 21 letters. I'm feeling a lot of pain. Six words, I believe, including 21 letters. For a newspaper headline, indeed, that's how many words and letters describe the feeling and so forth. But in the presence of the emotion, it doesn't add anything. The component of the letters, although articulating it in the presence of the emotions, doesn't add anything. It's absolutely insignificant. There was once a chassid who was walking one night in the streets of Russia. In Russia, in communist Russia, there was a rule that you had to carry your passport or ID, your ID. And if not, you could have been imprisoned and sent off to Siberia because you weren't living here legally. So once there was a chassid who was coming back from a chassidic fabrengen, and a policeman stopped him in the middle of the night and said, your ID. So the chassid turns to me and said, I don't understand you. You have me, myself. You need my ID. You have the real thing. So the Alter Rebbe explained, and this was a theme he discussed at length in the earlier chapter, so we won't elaborate at the moment, that real reality, nothing changed from before creation and after creation. So the same space that Hashem pervaded then, and there was no physical space then, He still pervades absolutely now, and nothing has changed. There's an interpretation in Chassidus on the pasuk of Eloisa Chalalu Hashem Kodesh in Parshas Emor. Literally, it means you shouldn't desecrate my holy name. The interpretation in Chassidus Chalalu also comes from the term Chalal, which means a vacuum, a space. Don't behave as if there's a vacuum and a space in this world. Because lois chalal, there is no chalal whatsoever. There is no vacuum and there's no space. Hashem fills every crevice. The only reality is the divine intimate presence. Okay, so what now? So we can go to sleep. I mean, so what are we left with? Why are we talking about a world? Why are we talking about life? Where does that leave us? Why don't we feel it? I mean, there seems to be some dichotomy between what has just been said and what is going on. So the Alter Rebbe explains. The change, Hashinui, there is a change. But the change applies only to the recipients of his vivifying life force and his energy. For him and from his vantage point, there was no change whatsoever. But for the recipients, in other words, for those that are absorbed within him, that are contained within the Creator, that are an aspect of the Creator, that were created by a certain aspect of his, there is a major difference. What is the difference if there's no change? If nothing happened, so nothing happened. The Zagdal Terebbe, Shemekablim, Ayyidei Levushim Rabim, Hamechasim, Amastidim, Ayyidei Yizbarach. All of these recipients receive this life force and energy by way of numerous garments which veil and conceal Hashem's energy. What happened here is that Hashem obscured and eclipsed his essence. So therefore, the creation feels itself and becomes self-conscious of an identity. If there was no eclipse, if there were no cover-ups happening, if everything was revealed, we wouldn't experience ourselves as any identity. Not only would we not experience ourselves as egotistical identities, because it would be obvious that our only reality is the divine thought, the divine energy that is creating us, just as it's obvious that the people in the daydream have no reality outside of the thought. Not only that, we wouldn't even have a divine identity. Because when the true essence of everything is revealed, when things are stripped, when the doors of perception are cleansed, and things appear as they truly are, we would experience ourselves not as any type of identity. Because as mentioned, the only identity pervading everything and the only real definition of reality that has presence is Hashem's intimacy. And the aspect that creates us is insignificant and adds nothing in the presence of His intimate self. So we wouldn't have a name, we wouldn't have an identity, we wouldn't have a reality. Atzmos, the essence of Hashem, that would be it. And it is it. That's the it. There's no other it. There's no other definition of reality. But Hashem hid that. He concealed it. So suddenly that aspect that's creating us becomes significant. When the presence is not there, the ID becomes significant. And even more than that, even the aspect of the Creator is concealed. So we can suddenly become self-conscious, even though really there is no change. So creation did not create any change. Nothing happened really, from Hashem's point of view. But since Hashem concealed what is really going on, so for us, a major change happened. We are here. What do you mean creation didn't change a thing? Depends from whose perspective. From Hashem's perspective, nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's not a happening. It's not any news that's fit to print. It would not make a New York Times story from Hashem's perspective. Creation didn't change a thing. From our perspective, a major change happened. Because since He concealed Himself, our presence has significance, has validity, and so forth. It has a definition. Kediksiv, as the Torah puts it, in Parshas Kisisa Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chav, Ki Lo Yirani Ha'Adam V'Chay. For no man can see me and live. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, because the moment you see me, in other words, the moment there's no concealment, you already cannot be a human being. You can't be an Adam, and you can't live as an Adam. Because the only definition of your entity would be Hashem. But that's already not an Adam anymore. So the moment there'll be Yirani, you will lose any sense of self-definition or identity and so forth. There won't be an Adam, there won't be a Chai. Your whole life will be redefined, but the I shall become nothing and just becomes part and parcel of the divine I. Okay, the Pirshur, as our sages interpreted this pasuk, Shafilu Malachim Anakrayim Chayis Ein Rayin, that even the angels called Chayis, the holy living beings, cannot see godliness. The Medrash in Sifri, at the end of Parshas Ba'aloscha, as well as Bamidbar Rabbah and Parshas Nosai, explains the pasuk not as meaning Kilo Yirani Adam V'Chai, no man can see me and live. Rather, Kilo Yirani HaAdam V'Chai, no man can see me and V'Chai, even the Chai, even the Chai Yisakaydish, the heavenly, celestial, angelic beings cannot perceive me. V'Chai, it's a continuation. Not interpretation, the person, not, let's not interpret it. No person can see me and live. No person can see me and v'chai. There's also another level of beings that cannot perceive me. Because if they would perceive the real thing, they would lose their identity as chayis. Where should there be an identity as chayis? Whom emale kol amakim hazeh? There's only one reality. Hashem's intimate presence. So where is there room for any identity? That's concealed. So suddenly the aspect of the Creator, which is really insignificant in His presence, that creates the Malachim, the Chayis HaKadosh, suddenly assumes an identity. As if, as your words after they left your mouth. As Dalton Rebbe put it in chapter 21. So suddenly it assumes an identity. So now there can be V'chai. But if there would be no Tzimtzum, there would be no Levushim, there would be no veils. Everything would appear as is. Nothing.
Is the word Chai used as opposed to Misa, or is it different? It's Chai, it's a
not Chai as opposed to Misa. Chai is the term for Malachim. Chai is HaKadosh. Is a term in Torah literature for a certain level of deeply spiritual angelic beings. So from this statement, why does he bring this Medrash? Because from this we see that even in the greatest spiritual worlds, there are garments, there's lo yirani. Everywhere there's a concealment. So you could put it this way. The existence of every world as an identity, having an identity of its own, is fiction. And it will continue to exist in that form as long as it doesn't know that that's fiction. The moment that the world or the being discovers that it's fiction, it ceases to exist. It ceases to exist. So that's why Hashem must create a concealment where the real picture should be eclipsed, should be concealed, should not be perceived, so that we should be able to experience ourselves as identities. Does that mean from Hashem's perspective there's no world? There's a world. It's just not an event. Again, a lot of people, when they learn Tanya, they think that the Alter Rebbe is saying that from a true perspective, there's no world. Hashem told us that we exist from His perspective. But what is the definition of that existence? There's no existence outside of Him. And even in Him, it doesn't add anything. So there is no change from pre-creation to post-creation. Kaloi Chashiv, it doesn't add anything. The only presence that exists is Hashem's intimate presence. You see right now a wall and there's a microphone and there's a tape that are going to be sold and there's a speaker and we're talking about it and so forth. These are all products of an ego that are created just because there's a Hester. Now, these concepts are so contrary to anything our world expresses that you might be looking at me and trying to figure out who's the crazy one, who's the insane one here. I mean, someone got it wrong. This is not day-to-day language. I mean, in the cafeteria, these things are not discussed. In supermarkets, these things are not discussed. On the radio, at the moment till Mashiach comes, these things are not discussed. So true, this is the revolution of Yiddishkeit as it was illuminated through the Alter Rebbe's point of view. And a real Yid has to meditate on this and internalize this and so forth. So the change happened through the fact that there was a veil. Many veils, yeah?
So you're saying that God gives us an identity only for us to try to negate it?
One second. That's a good question. Who was this, a game? I mean, what is this? He's giving an identity, so we should negate it. I mean, what's the idea? He's present life as fiction, and basically the purpose of life is to figure out that it's a fiction novel. We'll soon see. This is his brief history of time, of space, of everything, of reality. It's Alter Rebbe's version of it. Now we'll be able to understand, and this is what he goes on to explain, what is the concept of worlds, which is one of the most perplexing and confusing things to any beginner, or even further than beginner, who opens up the books of Jewish mysticism. Every sefer of Kabbalah or Chassidus will open up, one of the most common themes that will recur again and again and again is there is one world and another world and more worlds and many, many worlds. There's constantly a concept of olamus, whether four olamus or endless worlds and so forth. What are these worlds? We barely can figure out what's happening in this world. And so much research is dedicated to find out what is going on right around us in every single object, certainly on the galaxies, actually these very days and so forth. And then suddenly, Chassidus is busy with worlds upon worlds upon worlds and so forth. So here the Alter Rebbe presents the Chabad definition of what is the definition of all of these worlds. Zog the Alter Rebbe, v'zeu inyin ishtal shel usaylim v'yiridosam emadrega lemadrega. This is the concept of the evolution of the worlds and their descent from level to level. Through the many garments that conceal the energy and the life force emanating from him. Now we can understand what are we referring to when we talk about all these types of worlds. From Hashem's point of view, there's no world, there's no worlds. Hu levadehu, pre-creation. Hu levadehu, he is alone. Hu levadehu means he is alone after creation. No change. He was alone then, he is alone then. He is alone now. There are so many worlds, so we discussed, it's not outside of him. It's an aspect of the Creator, and it doesn't, even in him, it's an aspect that doesn't add anything, and so forth. So hu levadehu, he's one alone. But this presence of his aloneness is concealed. So this concealment operates in many levels and thus produces a chain-like evolution of many worlds. What changes? What is the variation from one world between one? What is the difference between one world and another world? Depending how many garments, how many veils, how many curtains, how many walls obscure the vision, the clarity, the serenity existing in the psyche and consciousness of the creatures or the beings that inhabit this world. How much is the true energy of existence eclipsed in the space of this world? In the highest worlds, there is a smaller concealment. Thus, the world absolutely doesn't define itself in terms of ego. It totally is aware of the fact that it doesn't have any reality independent of divinity, independent of its creator. But nevertheless, there's some concealment. And since there's some concealment, we call it a world. There is identity. There is definition. Godly definition, but definition. It's not hu levadehu. When there is a greater concealment, another world is produced. This world might still feel its total dependence upon its creator and not define itself in egotistical terms, but the level of identity and self-definition is more powerful. Every concealment to a greater degree produces another world with creatures that operate in other levels of consciousness. Like I said many times, we spoke about it last week, every world professes a philosophy, a dimension, a perspective of its own. A small concealment produces a world with one type of philosophy. A larger concealment produces a world with a different type of philosophy. So all the worlds you're talking about come as a result of various measures of concealment that produce different philosophies and approaches of what life is, what reality is, and so forth. But even the highest world, the Alter Rebbe writes in Likud HaTorah, what's the etymology of the word Olam? Helam. Concealment. Even Olam Atzilus, a world of closeness. The Alter Rebbe Zakhta, one of his discourses is Mailim, it conceals godliness. One second. The true, complete story is concealed. Chassidus explains, Tzemach Tzaddik in Derech Mitzvah Sechah explains the Medrash of Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Ches. When Hashem wanted to go create the world, Emes Amar Al Yibari, truth said it shouldn't be created. Why? Shekulei Mali Shkarim, because existence is filled with falsehood.